Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, 5/19/2015, as we're already halfway through this month.
Yeah, almost halfway through the year.
Yeah.
If nothing else from the show, you get a good reference on dates.
Yeah, time flies is what you get. Yeah.
So we're live on Periscope. We're trying this again. Last week, a lot of people had said that they really enjoyed listening in. We're doing audio only. Hopefully, all of you out there can hear us. You can pipe in on Periscope with some chat if you like, and I'll do my best to look over and see what's going on. Lots of gear and things going on here. But can you all hear us okay out there?
Yeah, we can. We can hear you.
I don't see anybody saying anything now, actually.
Yep. Well, you know, the lag is always what it is.
Exactly. And then they got the hearts going on this whole thing. And I got to tell you something, a couple stories about Periscope, if I may. So it's an interesting, if not ridiculous, platform for people to broadcast all sorts of crazy things on that. And I was kind of surfing around last week or whatever you do on Periscope, peeking around. And a couple of things that were interesting that I saw. First of all, I saw this live concert going on. It was Neil Diamond live streaming, not by just an average, you know, iPhone user. It was actually Neil Diamond's setup.
He's still alive?
And he's rocking.
Wow.
Yeah, he's awesome. So I watched that a little bit. That was kind of great. But then I started watching some other things, just kind of clicking around. And one night I was watching people rolling joints and smoking. I'm not kidding.
That's what I expect to see more of.
Now, I was wondering, why aren't people more concerned about having their faces? I mean, this is evidence, right? Having their face.
It could be in California.
Maybe. It could be. Then I saw a lot of drunk party streaming. It's kind of like, come in and check us out at a drunk party. Police chases. People were just chasing police cars, and he got behind the police car, and there's been 10 police cars that stopped this car, got the guy on the ground, and the guy. I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, the invasion of privacy and the, what do they call it? Citizen reporting? Would it be called citizen reporting, I guess? Yeah. Then I saw Storm Chasers, an MLB meeting. And then John, I think his name is John Legere from T-Mobile CEO. You know, this guy that wears the pink shirts.
Yeah, okay.
So he's pretty popular, tweets a lot. And the other night, last night, I think it was actually, he's like, hey, you know what? I'm getting home to my New York City apartment. He has an apartment in New York. I think he lives in Seattle. Why don't you come in? I'll show you around. The CEO of T-Mobile takes you on a tour of his apartment.
Did he actually invite anybody over or just he's doing it himself with his phone?
Here's my teacup. Here's this really cool tchotchke that I got. Here's the Olympic flame that I carried at one point during some Olympics that I ran with. And you know, here's my bedroom. Here's my bathroom. Here's my kitchen. Seriously. Kind of crazy, right?
I would say yes.
But they'll have to get this whole Periscope thing underway. I mean, with this little, you touch the screen and hearts come up. And what happens is that's likes. So if they like what you're saying or they like what you're doing or like what's happening, you just touch it. Yeah, come some hearts right now. You know, just all the hearts start streaming on the screen. Kind of interesting.
And you haven't even done anything.
No, I haven't done a thing yet. All right, let's talk about what's going on. Markets have been in a sideways to up action, grinding along, lower volume. And
that's never happened before.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I think there's a lot of people that are waiting for the Fed on Wednesday. There's a meeting that comes out that shows us the minutes of the last meeting. So whatever it is going to be somewhat in the background. But surely they're going to have a discussion on some of the economic indicators, how they're slowing down, they're weakening. But it's quite the humdrum, I would say, in the markets. Limited movement, small highs. But it seems to me, I've got this feeling that there's kind of something lurking around the corner.
Something good or something bad?
I don't know, but something. It's something, and it feels like there's been so much good, there's been so much uptick, there's been so much buy on the dips, there's been so much enthusiasm where in places maybe there shouldn't be, that somehow it seems to me that there's just potentially something. And I was kind of wanted to talk to you about just brainstorming what could be the problems for the market right now, because it doesn't seem like the slowing economics anybody really cares about. The fact that the ECB had to come out yesterday and talk down the euro. Euro dropped to about 112 and change. And actually tonight with the announcement of Japan's GDP at plus 2.4%, which I don't really understand why, the yen dropped and the euro dropped and the dollar came higher. That makes no sense at all.
Nope.
But it did. But I mean, is it possible that oil's plunging again? That could be an issue that may trigger some kind of questions. The lack of liquidity in the summertime. Fed.
Well, that shouldn't happen because people use more oil during the summer, generally speaking. I think there may be some shoe dropping from the latest incursion of ISIS, which will threaten the oil supply in some way, which will push the oil prices back up. And
oil has plunged. Oil has totally plunged down to, where is it now? It's at 58.50.
And they think that, you know, and then meanwhile, Putin and Kerry have had a meeting. That's kind of suspicious. Maybe something is up. I don't know what it is, but
something seems like it's just around the corner. I don't know if it's China and Japan thing or Greece. I don't know. It has this feeling.
Yeah, you would have the best sense of it.
Did you see Putin playing sports events last week and well televised? He played hockey.
He likes to play hockey. He actually can play hockey.
Well, he can play hockey, especially when everybody seems to hiccup when he comes by. You know what I mean? How would you like to be?
Nobody checks him.
No, not even the checks. Listen, how would you like to be the goalie playing on the opposing team when Putin is coming at you? You can't. Well, nothing you could do right.
No, you can't win. If you block the shot, then you're
beheaded. Putin
kill you. And if you let the shot go in, then Putin is irked because you let it go in.
Right. There's no winning. So yeah, I see
no win. You don't want to be there. You should just abandon right. The goal.
Defect. I see him coming up on the goalie. He's on the right or the left-hand side of the goalie, right? So he's coming up on the goalie, and there's a couple of guys on the other side. And you see the other guys make some noise and whatever. And Putin's got the puck, and he just clips it right in there. And, you know, I mean, if it was the professionals, it'd probably be, the guy would just, like, go flying and lay down in front of the net or just, you know, a big old catcher's mitt catch of it or something.
Yeah, it was like playing basketball against Kim Jong-il or whatever his last name.
You don't want to do that.
New guy.
That's really bad. As a matter of fact, that leads me into a story. Do you see what's going on in North Korea?
Whatever it is, I'm sure it's bullshit. But what is
really?
Oh, we can't get news out of there. It's all made up.
Well, it seems that, let me find where this is here. Where is this whole thing? Well, here it is. To generate new income, I guess there's some problems with income because maybe, you know,
they're cut off from everyone.
It seems that way. In North Korea, the government has engaged in state-sponsored trafficking of its citizens, sending them to work as forced laborers in the other countries and confiscating all or most of their wages.
Yeah.
You will work.
Tough. It's a tough game.
I don't know what the difference is of you know, looking at this, talking about it, state-sponsored trafficking of its citizens, of, you know, having them living under this regime and basically, you know, like the old fiefdoms and kingdoms where you'd have to go and work and you'd give, you know, half your land profits or more to the king. I mean, there's no difference there. Is that trafficking? It's just a way of the media.
I guess that would have been, but, you know, times have changed.
Yeah. Trafficking is not what trafficking used to be. So, interesting way to create some new income, though. Oil was rallying, I mentioned, for some time. Now it's about a little over 58 and change. And a new and renewed strength of the U.S. dollar against the ECB. The ECB, one of the ECB speakers came out, and this was kind of interesting. Yesterday, talked about how they may front-end load bond purchases. And then he said also we may even back-end load them. First, you got to think, what the hell is he talking about? You know, they have this plan where they're going to be buying X amount of dollars or euros per month of the debt of various countries and things around the region through this quantitative easing program. And now all of a sudden, they're going to, you know, when the euro starts turning the other direction, like, you know, hey, by the way, just to let you know, while yields are up now and all that, we may actually do some front-end loading where we see some limited liquidity and limited trading going on, and there's a lot of a lull in the markets and complacency, and you know what? We may start buying more in certain areas. Scared the hell out of the bond traders. which I guess is what they tried to do, right?
I guess so, yeah. It worked.
It did work very well. So a little discussion, just a little comment, and whether or not there's any truth to it, just drops the ECB down, the euro down from, what was that, almost 115, right? Down to
yeah, it got that high. I still can't see how it's over 109, but that's different. Mm. That's just me.
So tonight, before the close, actually, there's a really interesting thing that happened. If you look at the chart of Yahoo, just prior to the close of the market, it plunged, just plunged. And one of the reasons that was cited was there's an Internal Revenue Service is now considering changes to rules concerning spinoffs. You know, that they were going to take the Alibaba, what they have, and spin it off in a tax-free exchange. They were going to pump some other deals inside of it also and kind of just push all these high-yielding assets they had into this other company so they could avoid the taxes. Well,
they got the Silicon Valley bookkeepers. There's plenty of them.
Yeah, so, well, here's what happens. The issue now may have a change, and there would maybe a higher tax rate, or a tax rate, but some taxation of this particular type of plan. Now, they'll probably, if this happens, I'm sure the pencil heads that they're working with are going to come out with another way around the whole deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Yahoo dropped like 7.5% on this news.
Hmm.
So the big question is what to do now. Now, of course, all the talking heads that come on CNBC and other places are like, what do they say, right? Great opportunity. You know? We don't know all the details yet. This is something, you know, this could be something that we want to get in on because it dropped. But at the same time, that we still don't know what the real numbers are and what the impact will be on Yahoo and if they can actually do it. This will be the nail in the coffin for Marissa Meyer, in my opinion. If there is some kind of major change. Because she was, she was banking on this whole Alibaba. I mean, really, at the underlying Yahoo is not worth anything if you look at the valuation of it all.
No, you're right.
And this could be just bye-bye, Marissa. Let's get rid of the dead weight already. She needs to sleep more anyway.
She looked tired to you?
No, but now she naps in between old meetings.
Oh, you're right. She's sleeping all day.
Right? She sleeps and misses meetings. Remember that whole thing? All right, Apple. What's going on with Apple? So Carl Icahn comes out with a 12-page memorandum research report letter a couple of days ago, and he says and proclaims, Apple is worth, what do you say it was worth? $240 a share. Why? Well, they're going to have the Apple TV. They're going to come out with a car in 2020. They're going to come out with this and that. And if you look at the...
They're not coming out with a car.
I'm just telling you what he said. So I was thinking, what else can he throw in this deal, right? Now, Apple came out, or Wall Street Journal came out with a report today that says, no, Apple abandoned its high-def TV. They're not doing it.
I didn't know they were ever doing it. I was always saying they should do it. I don't know that they were doing it.
Yep. Well, Icahn proclaims that they are doing this, and he's, you know, sticking with this. And he has a lot of shares, 52.5 million shares or so. Let's see. We said that would boost the combined market cap of the company to about $2.2 trillion. So I was thinking, what other things can he put in this report that he missed? Maybe the Apple Home? Like, maybe they'll make track homes. How about an Apple
RV? They may as well.
They may as well. How about an Apple RV? How great would that be?
I'd buy one.
Yeah, I mean, right? How great would that be? The other thing that I was wondering is, you know how the Ford has the sync system that used to be Microsoft, but now I think they're switching to BlackBerry? Or at least it is.
They're switching to somebody. BlackBerry, I know, is the one pushing for this.
Right. So I was thinking, why doesn't Apple, and maybe I'm missing this, but why doesn't Apple have more of a connection to the car? Do they?
Well, Apple has a product of some sort that the companies haven't bought, but I think individually you can, I don't know if you can install it or how it works, but they have a they have something. I don't know, at least I heard about this about a year ago. I don't know what's come of it or why everybody's just not buying it, because it seems to me if you're like a company like a luxury auto company, you'd want the Apple entertainment center in your car as opposed to pretty much anything else.
Right. I mean, you could technically have a Bluetooth that would, you know, connect in, but much more of a car, that's a connection in versus an OS that's in the car that is based on Apple. It's kind of like Apple has always missed the business market. you know? They've always been retail and consumer oriented.
Yeah.
It seems like this is something else that they're, I don't want to say missing because they're a lot smarter than I am, but this is something that is kind of in that same genre of a business environment or not the, you know, directly with consumer, although I guess a car would be. But it would seem that they should, I don't know, just seems like there should be some more connectivity to this. Do you know anybody that has the Apple?
I agree. I think that they've kind of dropped the ball on this.
Do you know anybody that has the Apple Watch? Any of the listeners have an Apple Watch yet? I'm kind of curious if you've seen it in action.
I've seen, I know Leo Laporte has an Apple Watch.
Wow.
I know
people
that go on his show have an Apple Watch, and they salute Apple.
Oh, they love it, huh?
Well, I don't know anyone loves it.
But they don't hate it, or at least they're not going to say.
I don't know what the deal is with this watch. It's selling, I guess, very well, and I don't know why anyone would want one. If you want one for, like, health purposes, your Fitbit's a much better deal, and it does a lot more.
Mm.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, but the Fitbit, isn't the Fitbit a, it's for exercise and fitness only, right?
It does a bunch of stuff. My wife got one. And she was all in on, and she, I don't know, she read about it or something. She insisted on getting one. And we got it up in Washington State where there was a Radio Shack going out of business, one of the ones that were closing. And so everything in their whole Radio Shack was 50 to 70% off.
Wow.
That's yeah, I bought a bunch of stuff, batteries, everything.
Yeah.
And the Fitbits were all on the same chopping block. So she got a good one. And she loves it. She thinks that she likes it because it tells her how many times she wakes up during the night.
I don't want to know that. Do you want to know that? Because that would bother me and probably wake me up during the night thinking about it.
I don't want any of this.
Why do you want to know that?
Monitoring myself that closely.
No, that's not good.
But she thinks it's fantastic.
And what happens when she wakes up more times than not than
usual?
She's
actually got her number of wake-ups is going down the more she knows.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe you should wake up a lot. I have no idea.
Hmm. Well, the older you get, you know.
I don't know what the studies are. I have no idea.
Well, that would be interesting to how much. That's interesting. So, therefore, you would actually be able to know if you did some kind of weird sleepwalking in the middle of the night, whereas you may not know otherwise.
Could be.
Hmm. I still think that all of this tracking of my movement and everything that I do somehow is going to bite me in the ass one day. Like, I don't want to know all about that. And if I know all about that, the reality is that others know about that. There's something to be said about having a little bit of privacy, don't you think?
I'm a big believer in that, yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's see what else we got. Walmart, the latest casualty in the retailing hoo-ha, disappointing investors with their outlook. Seems that they're blaming the increase in wages. Remember they increased minimum wage to the minimum wage levels? In some areas, and then across other places, they increased also, even though if minimum wage didn't require it, currency problems, and just a general sluggish consumer. And last week's consumer confidence came out pretty bad. It was off very hard compared to what we saw the last few months. And I guess the big question I have to ask is, what the hell is everybody doing with all that savings from gas?
Well, this has come up in the conversation before, and a number of people have written in, and they say things like they use the money for some, you know, they goes to college, some it gets ripped off someplace else, or there's no real one reason, but I think it's notable.
Yeah,
I think that consumer spending would go up.
You would think it would, and now gas prices have gone up dramatically. I saw an interesting note today about the price of gas in California that was at like, we'll pick a number, $2.50. And now it's like $3.80 already.
Yeah, it went back up. Yeah, it fluctuates. Yeah. And it doesn't make sense.
Mm. So, you know, I always bitch and moan about these websites, the various pages and how they look and kind of how they've gone to, we went through a you know, from a plain text page to some images to now it looks like a MySpace page, a lot of these websites, and, you know, a lot of pictures versus, you know, taking up very large sections of your screen so you can't see other things. I went and I looked just the other day at the Barron's homepage. Have you seen this lately?
Let's stop for a second so you can remind everybody that you hate Barron's.
I'm not the biggest fan, but just go to the Barron's page and walk us through what you see.
Okay, hang on.
It's at barrons.com, online.barrons.com, or just barrons.com. You'll get there. Okay.
It's one O or two, or one R or two.
Two.
Yeah. You know, I used to write for barrons.com. Okay, I've got Barron's. I got homemade. It looks like a template for WordPress. It doesn't look very exciting. U.S. edition, Asia edition, and whatever. Okay, what about it?
I mean, just do you notice there's something glaringly missing? What happened to the whole right side?
What about the right side? It's there.
But there's two columns, right?
Yeah.
There used to be a third column with all this other information. Doesn't it look
no,
like
no, there's three columns. There's a left column, which is a bunch of headlines, and there's a little bitty dinky column in the middle. And then there's one on the right.
You think this looks full?
Oh, I don't know what you're looking for. I don't think it's a big deal, whatever you're complaining about.
Okay, just bitching and moaning, complaining. I didn't like the way it looked. I thought it was kind of sparse, and they took out that whole right side where they talked about their various picks and pans.
Oh, well, I see. I haven't seen this site for, like, years. So, to me, it's all
whatever. It looks lousy to me, but what can I say?
Yeah, it's got picks and pans. They're still there.
That's interesting. I should look at it now. I've looked at it twice in the last couple of days. I'm like, what happened to everything? Maybe my my browser was or their
CSS issue or something.
Exactly. All right. Now we got you know what? I was going to do Twitter questions, but I can't do it now that I think about it because my iPhone is taping this Periscope thing.
No. Don't you have a computer in front of you?
Yeah, I could do it somewhere else. I can kind of reach over. I got three different computers here. So listener Pavel wrote in. Remember last week we talked about the Bund. He says, thank you for the information you have sent and keep in touch for all podcasts, of course, etc. He says, you and Dvorak have mentioned your special affection for the term Bund several times, and I allow myself to FYI that word has a very broad meaning in German. Kind of like a bond in English, but probably more so. It usually means bundle, organization, society. By no means am I a philologist?
Philologist.
What is that?
I don't know.
What the heck's a philologist?
I know what it is, but I don't know what it is.
Is it somebody that
knows? One of those words that I used to know what it means. I can look it up. Oh, yeah, that's what it means.
So I'm going to assume it means a word.
I don't know that we've talked about, we love the Bund.
No, we talked about the word.
There was always a German Nazi front group in the United States called the German Bund.
Yeah, Boondoggle. Is that the same thing?
No, Boondoggle. There's no Boondoggle.
There's no Boondoggle?
No, it's no Boondoggle.
Oh, I thought it's when you go to Germany and just like let it out. No, huh?
No.
Anyway, I think philologist is the word. This is my theory. I'm not looking this up and all, but philologist, it means someone who studies words. How's that?
It's possible.
He said, also look up Bundesbank, in my honest opinion, but some names that has nothing to do with bonds. Bundestag. Capitol Hill, and Bundeswehr. What is that? Bundeswehr?
Philology is the study of language and written historical sources.
Okay, there you go. Anyway, thank you for that fascinating information, but good to know that the Bund means bonds, but yet it means other things, and it's, I'm not sure where we're going with this.
I don't know. I don't know why you read it.
I think the word philologist had me all in a flutter.
Apparently, you were hypnotized.
Yeah, I just want to say philologist. Philologist.
It's a good word.
You know, it's kind of like, that's one of those hard words to pronounce that you have no idea what it is. So naturally, it is describes someone who studies words and things like that. You know, you got to just get everybody. It's kind of like the word lisp. Like, who the hell came up with the word lisp? With an
lisp?
S? Yeah, with the word S in the word lisp.
Yeah, lisp. I
mean, that's just not right.
It's kind of the way, it's kind of like what it is. You lisp.
I'm a philologist. All right, chicken companies, Loco, Pollo Loco dropping off a cliff. Bojangles driving higher. Chipotle getting all sorts of problems. A lot of them are feeling some major pain lately.
It was a really negative piece on the John Oliver show. Last week in the news or whatever it's called on Showtime, or I think it's Showtime or HBO. I think it's Showtime.
What is this, the new Jon Stewart?
Well, it's like a Jon Stewart show, yeah. Only it's John Oliver,
right?
The British guy, and he just blasted the chicken industry.
Ah, love him. What did he say?
Well, that they're screwing the farmers, and Tyson is a major target here. It's a scam. The chicken, you know, these guys are losing their ass. Chickens are underpriced. The market is fixed. A million things. It's just a lot of stuff. It was a very good piece, actually. If you wanted to, you know, if you have bad thoughts about the chicken industry, you want to watch this.
But coming from the side of how do you make money, if the chicken industry is screwing the farmers and all that, and they're getting good prices better than they should, that leans me towards, okay, well, maybe I should look into these chicken companies as something to buy, you know, the various chains, et cetera.
Maybe, or something to sell. I really wouldn't be in it myself because I wouldn't be able to know whether it's the, you know, this reminds me of my pet peeve about insider trading.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say, oh, there's going to be a merger between these two companies and nobody knows about it. And if you know about it, it'd be insider trading. But more than half the time, it could go either way. You don't know if the stock's going to go up or down.
Right.
So I know that there's going to be a merger, but I don't know if both stocks are going to go up. One stock's going to go up. One's going to go down. You don't know. You don't know how the market's going to react to a lot of this stuff. So I don't think insider trading is important.
In the old days, the acquiring company would go down and the company to be acquired would be going up in price. That's what happened.
Right.
These days, it's all over the map. Remember when Zillow and Trulia were going to merge? They were both up like 15, 16%.
Right.
When Mylan was going to be buying or put in an offer to buy recently, they were another company. Both companies were up like 15, 12, 14%, and Mylan was just cruising. And I mean, this is kind of the way it is today. The idea is that in the old days, nobody really understood maybe what the economies of scale would be. If it would be an accretive transaction. But now it takes seconds just to kind of put the companies together on a computer, if you have the right software and the right information, to figure out, well, okay, this particular sector of the company and this division is something they could probably shut down and save all the money on those employees, and how much would that calculate to be? And this is an overlap here, and then maybe they're in the drug industry. These reps will be able to sell these drugs to their people, and how much it would move up. I mean, It's a different world these days, and you do see a lot of companies, both of them moving up, and kind of like the market applauding just for the fact that something's happening.
Yes.
Dead air.
I agree.
Okay, good.
As far as we go.
I have a question for you. I have a question for our audience too, and those of you listening on a recording, you know, think about this. When you graduated college or high school, whatever it was, and you got into the workforce, did you rely...
When I graduated from college, you mean?
Yeah, what'd I say?
You said graduated college, which is what they say in Europe.
Ah, so.
It's just a pet peeve of mine.
So we hit two.
I went to university, kind of thing. What do you mean? You went to university. And it's actually grammatically incorrect by most standards, but I just thought I'd point it out.
Graduated from collegist.
Yes, I graduated from college.
Yes, you philologist.
I didn't graduate the college.
Yeah. See, when you graduated from college, did you rely on your parents in any way, or did you go on your own way and say, okay, now I am in the workforce? Or, you know, what was your kind of way of being at that point?
I went my own way.
Yeah. I mean, like, I need to make my own money. I need to do my own thing, right?
Yeah, as much as I could, sure. If I was in bad straits, I'd obviously go to my parents and ask for help, but I didn't do that.
I mean, I remember that when I first started in the workforce on my own, okay, when there was times that I didn't have money, let's say, between paychecks, I would scour the couch for change, right?
I understand you still do that.
You know what I still do?
I found a dollar.
I'll tell you what I do. I never spend my change.
Oh, yeah. My wife's the same way. She just tosses it, and she gets these huge piles of it. And one of the banks that we have in the area will take the buckets of these change. You don't have to use one of these machines. Mm-hmm. They just take the buckets and buckets of change, and then they run it through their machines, and they just give you the money with no fee.
Yeah, I do that because...
Shouldn't all banks give that service?
I think so. It's what they do as a bank. That's one of their jobs, to change money.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the basic structure of a bank. But to this day, I don't spend my change because I just put it into a drawer and figure if I ever need it one day, I could just kind of get all the quarters together, et cetera. It seems that American college graduates and their parents appear to be increasingly reluctant to cut the financial apron strings, according to this article that I read. About half of the students expect to be supported financially by their parents for up to 2 years after graduation.
From college.
Graduating from college. After graduating from college. Not graduating college. Graduating from college.
Yes.
This is a new survey that came out. The savings division of Sallie Mae, this You Promise, did the survey. And almost half of the students said that they'd be willing to pay their parents rent if they moved back home post-graduation. So I guess there's a big trend of, I don't know if it's because when they get out into the workforce that the whole idea is that they deserve to get all sorts of things. I mean, I lived in a crap hole when I started working, didn't you?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But the difference was is that most of us, and I'm older, worked all throughout high school, and we always could get jobs. They were all over the place. Manufacturing, all sorts of cool jobs you could get. You just had to go around and look for them. And then that kind of ended, I think, about 15, 20 years ago. And now there's the kids during the summer, they're not working. They have to either can maybe volunteer someplace and hope to God maybe they get an unpaid internship. And they're used to this kind of dependency on their parents that is because they've never experienced anything else. And it just kind of baffles them. They don't know what to do. They're hopeless. They just haven't been... I had a paper route. The kids don't, nobody gets a paper route. I remember about 15 or 20 years ago, all the paper routes dried up for all the kids, and the paper routes were being bought up by these families that would drive their car around and throw papers out the window. It's the whole thing has changed. They have done everything
but
they can.
But why is that? There's a simple
reason. I think
reason.
The mechanism is broken. I think they've somewhere along the line it was decided that I think a lot of it has to do with the sending manufacturing overseas. I think it's the corporation's fault.
It's clearly technology, robotics, and all sorts of.
This is not a robotic, but it doesn't account for the paper routes. For
example,
the paper
routes are technology. Technology. Listen, you have a garbage truck that comes by your house, right?
Yes, of course.
How many people are in that truck?
One.
How many used to be in that truck?
Probably three.
Three. There was a guy on the right side, guy driving, a guy on the right side, a guy on the left side, on the back, hanging on.
Now they got this big machine that comes out and grabs the can and dumps it into the thing.
So you got one guy on the garbage truck. That's two guys out. Technology. You look at the paper route. People are reading things online now. You know, they don't need the paper route as they did in the past.
Yeah, but this paper route thing ended before the internet showed up, and it was going on years before. It was in the mid-90s before that I was seeing the people driving around in their cars delivering papers, adults, instead of kids on their bicycles. Mm.
Well, a lot of other jobs, a lot of things have been displaced, and there are a lot of reasons why the young worker who was the grunt isn't necessary anymore. And it could be the technology, it could be, you know, just overseas moving or whatever it may be. But clearly there's been a change.
Well, but then again, if a kid has any wherewithal, he should be able to. This is being very pretentious. And I know some of you think it's easy for you to say. But, you know, you can code. In fact, I use a coder that's in Ireland. Of course, he's not in the United States, but he's a kid in Ireland. He's like, I don't know how old he is, 14, 15, maybe. I think I started using him when we guess he was 12.
Oh, come on, really?
Yes, and he's really talented. He could fix websites, and he could do add-ins for WordPress. He could do a lot of stuff.
Wow.
And I don't know how much money he's making, but his parents are probably shocked by his bank account.
Mm. Wow. That's
There's that.
There's definitely a change in the environment. There's no question about that. Definitely a change in the environment. So,
I don't know how hard it is to make a few bucks running various websites selling stuff where you're just a pass-through seller. I mean, this is not something that takes a genius to figure out. Hmm. If you're a kid in high school and you take up a little bit of coding, learn some JavaScript, I don't see how you can't, spend a lot of time making some extra cash. It doesn't have to be a lot of money.
Yep, I agree. I agree. I mean, go on those websites like Elance and a couple of the other ones. I mean, there's plenty of people out there doing it, young people too, you know, doing it. So,
and then there's Etsy for creative types. That's a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, that stock got smacked today, but good.
I didn't even know it was public.
Yeah, we went public, and now there's all sorts of complaints and lawsuits against the potential fraud and, more importantly, copyright infringement by people
on
who
Etsy?
Are selling. Yep. Look at the stock, ETSY. The dropped 17% after hours tonight on the earnings.
What's the symbol?
Etsy.
Oh, well, there you go.
Make it easy. Down 7, I think down 17% after hours. Stock has done terribly since its IPO. It was a big high flyer initially, and the company also is no longer providing guidance on their outlook. They said that one of the big things that they had said that it's kind of interesting that the dollar strength is going to be a major, I think it's a major headwind to.
It's sitting around $21.
I don't think that's where it is after hours.
Well, after hours, it says it's, well, oh, down 4. So it's down to 17. Yeah, after hours, it collapsed.
Yeah, 17 and a half. All right, let's talk about, let's see. Oh, some other things about going on, what's going on in colleges. This happened at, actually, my son is going to this college. Well, he's doing an online course at this college, one of his courses for the summer. Two college students. Remember we talked about last week how they were doing, there's a requirement for a professor to have an art class, the final to be in the nude. We talked about that, right?
The artists have to be in the nude or the professor
the class,
has to be?
The whole class.
The whole class has to be naked?
Yeah, yes.
No, I don't remember talking about
this. Oh, we didn't
talk
about that? So I don't remember where it was now, but there was some kind of a art class or...
I don't think artists have to be naked. I think they're getting this wrong.
No, it was the students. Students and the teachers for the final all got undressed. It's okay. A requirement for this course. And the parents got... just hysterical. And I've been doing this class for years now the same way. At the end of the year for their final exam, they have to do some kind of a, what they call a gesture, some kind of a, I don't know, some kind
I can,
of a...
I can imagine.
You know, and they all have to get naked. And then they do their 5-minute gesture of sorts, whatever it is, for a personal expression type of maybe acting or, you know, it's some kind of one of those courses, right? And yeah. And the parents are just peeved. But I thought it was really interesting that the professor got naked too. That's the one thing that kind of threw
me. I think
me
this is professors a little perverted.
Yeah. Well, now let's fast forward. Two college students say they were forced to submit to transvaginal probes as part of their classroom training.
Wow.
Yeah. To learn how to perform medical procedures. So this woman, Bugnacki, is named in a lawsuit as a laboratory technician in the program. The details are outlined in a federal lawsuit filed Thursday in Orlando against Valencia College and three instructors. It alleges that medical diagnostic students at the college were forced to submit to the examination of their sexual organs under threat of, listen to this, this is the good part, under threat of having their grades reduced or being blacklisted by future employers. Can you come over here, please? We need to just show you how to do this procedure. Illegal. We're going to put my hand up your crotch.
Yeah, excuse me, this won't hurt.
I mean, can you,
just relax.
Can you believe that?
No, not really. But
I mean, it seems a little bit like, you know, you would think that, okay, listen, here we're going to do. We're going to show you how to
do
this procedure.
Some of these people think they can get away with anything.
What happened to the plastic doll, or a corpse for that matter, which is used in some of these types of courses? Yeah. So, okay, this can't be good, by the way. This next one. Six Flags Great Adventure. I used to go there as a kid. It was in New Jersey. Great thrill rides, great roller coasters. We used to go there on bus trips and all that when I was a kid. So they want to build the state's biggest solar farm to reduce its reliance on fossil fuels. Hey, so far, so good. Sounds like a great idea. But they need to chop down 19,000 trees. Now.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, here's the calculation.
What a scam this is. Yeah, they're going to sell the wood, I'm sure.
Probably. So I did some research. It seems like that the... there's a couple of different ways that we get oxygen. A lot of the algae and a variety of things in the water, and that gives us a lot. And trees, though, give us a part of, about, I think about 20%, something like that, of our oxygen. You know, they take carbon dioxide in and exchange it out for oxygen. Now, a single mature tree can absorb carbon dioxide at a rate of 48 pounds per year and release oxygen back into the atmosphere to support two human beings. So if you multiply this out, killing 19,000 trees essentially kills 38,000 people.
Well, it chokes off their oxygen.
Yeah.
Which they have to get from a different source.
Right.
Yeah, so, this doesn't sound like a good thing.
Well, they want to get rid of global warming. And by the way, it seems to me
the wrong way to do it.
Yeah. The big question is whether you now choose to die by global warming and a horrible hellfire death of sorts, or freezing or something, or choke to death. This is the big choice right now. What I think is really interesting about this is zany, crazy, totally not right, but just seems... All these solar panels. You know, do you remember the old days? You used to sit out in the backyard, and what would you do? You'd take a record, like a Peter Frampton album, and you'd cover it with tinfoil and sit out there and put up to your face?
Yeah, I never did that. Oh.
Well, some people did that. Or they had those ones that you could actually lay on a raft with the silver. It seems to me those things get very hot. It would seem to me also that somehow all the solar panels are absorbing rather than reflecting heat. Isn't there something to be said about solar energy possibly warming? I know I'm not talking about the climate change issues due to atmospheric conditions. I'm talking about actual heat now. Isn't there something to be said about if we have all of this extra solar panels that it's just going to heat the earth even more?
Anybody hey, you're talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah, it seems to me that that would be the case, but no. Well, speaking about fossil fuels.
Leave the trees alone.
Yeah, exactly. Fossil fuels, big issue in Texas, right? I mean, they make their bread and butter on drilling and fracking and all this good stuff, right? And there's been a lot of negative press on fracking, right?
Yeah, because of all the earthquakes, maybe, think, in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
So Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed into legislation a ban against banning hydraulic fracking.
Ban against bans.
Seriously, he's banning the banning of hydraulic fracking.
Wow.
Gotta love it, huh? I wonder if this can be a ban against the ban against the ban.
Well, that's what you need next.
Yeah. It just keeps on going in a gigantic, gigantic loop. All right, what else do we got here? Okay, charities. Oh, this was interesting. Federal regulators are accusing four cancer charities Tuesday. This is awful, by the way, of spending more than $187 million in donations not to help patients, but on cars, luxury cruises, trips, jet ski outings, sports and concert tickets, dating site memberships, and college tuition for family and friends.
Sounds right.
Cancer Fund of America, Cancer Support Services, Inc., Children's Cancer Fund of America, and the Breast Cancer Society. Are any of those the two of them, the Children's Cancer Fund and the Breast Cancer Society seem like two biggies that I know of. Is that, the other ones, I don't know what those are. But sometimes they have these little charities out there that, you know, kind of have names that are like the others. Are these?
That's how you do it.
Oh, is that what, you just scam it by the name?
Well, you know, you could, you know, the Cancer Society would be a good, I mean, you could do anything you want. Children's Cancer Fund of America would be a good one. I mean, you could make these up and then you go around, you make it slick, you know what you're doing, you got some good marketing tools and you go around and get some sales guys and you use some of these, all these, you know, middlemen that can do sales for you. They call people up and all the rest. And, oh, you know, it's like the constant calls you get from the police benevolence society. Hi, I'm with the local police.
You can't get rid of those guys.
It's like I'm with the El Cerrito police benevolent guys. I don't live in El Cerrito. Where you live? I live in Berkeley. We're with the Berkeley Police Benevolent Society.
They get on the edge of almost threatening not to protect you if you don't give them money.
Yeah, I know. That's what they do. It's just like a complete scam. The police get nothing. There's no benevolent society. Maybe they, you know, throw some money their way just to make it somewhat, legal. No, I hate it. The firemen do the same thing. The firemen were the firemen's, you know, widows of firemen operation, whatever. They always call. I always say, oh, I'm right in the middle of dinner. Call me back. And since these are all machines, they don't know who they're calling. They can't call you back. Right. It's not like anything really personal. It's a computer that throws a number out. You know, they just, the phone is ringing. They're picking up one after another.
So that usually works. The other one is, oh, my wife just got this call. You have to talk to her, but right. She's not in right
That's
now.
That's what I do. Oh, I don't.
Do the wife thing?
Yeah, I think we gave. And you know what? I don't handle any of that here. You know, the handle by my wife.
It's on my other number, yeah.
She's in Yugoslavia.
Yeah, right they've now. Heard it all, by the way. Yeah, no, it's not as though they haven't heard this a million times.
Right, exactly. Now, the defendants in this potential fraud case spent less than 3% of the donated funds on cancer patients, according to the complaint. All 50 states and D.C. joined the Federal Trade Commission in the filing charges. You know what I find to be amazing? I get that they're ripping off people. I get it. And these four different companies, I don't know if they're actually associated with each other. But man, that's horrible. I mean, really horrible that 3% of the funds were spent on cancer patients or on cancer issues.
I'm surprised it's that high.
Oh, man. They got to feel bad.
No, they don't.
They don't feel bad?
No, that's why they can do it. They don't feel bad at all. In fact, probably the Cancer Fund of America says, it's not as bad as the cancer support services. They're worse than we are.
All right. We'll finish this next topic and then talk about some of the stocks. Flocka.
My wife is all over this Flocka story. We haven't even talked about it on the No Agenda show.
This is, breaking some news on DH Unplugged, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. She sent me a bunch of links. I haven't really looked into it much, but it's some stupid thing that people take and it makes you nuts.
Right. This is like the bath
this
salts.
This is worse than PCP. I remember that era.
Supposedly, this makes bath salts look like aspirin.
Yeah.
Okay. And for whatever particular for whatever reason, this Flocka drug, which is a methamphetamine kind of something or other designer synthetic drug of sorts.
Now you got me looking into it.
Now, what happens is that for whatever, this is the weird thing. People seem to rip their clothes off.
Yeah.
It's I don't know if it's genetically modified directly to the brain center, which controls your buttoning and unbuttoning of your shirt.
Or inhibitions.
Yeah. Oh, what it is. But I don't know why you have to get naked. But one guy, first of all, it's a big problem in South Florida. In fact.
Yes. Here's the headline. A crazy new street drug called Flocka is taking over Florida.
If you look at, there's a couple of videos out there. And if you look at one of the videos and it shows a guy running down the street with kind of his clothes off, that's two blocks away from my house.
You're in Flocka Central.
Yeah, I'm in Flockaville. And one of the guys, kind of weird stories, right? You know, they go around naked. One guy tried to, he was going crazy trying to break into a police department. One guy hopped over a fence by a police department and impaled himself right in the ass. People, what happens is supposedly you take a little bit of this stuff and I guess it erupts into a euphoric sense of sorts. But if you take a little bit more, your heart rate goes berserko. Your temperature goes up to like 106, which maybe is why they're ripping off their clothes. Maybe they're hot as hell.
That could be.
You know, and but it's really bad. Very addictive. Very cheap. Kind of like, you know, those other like crack, I guess, which a little piece of it or a little whatever nugget or stone of it is cheap. But this is a real problem in South Florida. Real big problem. Now, the one thing I don't understand about this is with this and bath salts and a few of these other things, why anybody... I don't want to say in the right mind, but why anybody would even touch this stuff if it totally scrambles your brain like the first time you use it?
I have no idea. I have no desire to even experiment with something like that, if even though I was 20 years old.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff you don't
want
to get
near. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Flocka. Flocka, Flocka. So this is, again, another really bad... Don't forget, of course, in Florida, there was a case...
It's typically manufactured in China, India, or Pakistan... and repackaged in gram packets in the U.S., it's possible to mix it with higher-priced drugs such as heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine. That would be something.
Yeah.
It's reportedly available as cheaply in the U.S. for $5 per quote-unquote hit.
Mm.
And a laboratory for one county in Florida has reported a steady rise in, and they use it, APVP or alpha PVP, detections from none... from January and February 2014 to none from January and February of last year to 84 by September. And now I guess hundreds.
Hmm. Yeah, and this is the same kind of thing that happened. You remember that case where in South Florida, some guy was on bath salts, freaking out, and bit some guy's face off?
Yes.
Remember that?
We remember that story.
Yeah, it was horrible, but this is the same kind of drug.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It just, you know, it makes people eat other people and take your clothes off. It's just, it's like one of the worst episodes from Night of the Living Dead or something.
Yeah, no, it sounds zombie-like.
Yeah, it's crazy. So that's what's going on down here in South Florida. Come on and bring the family.
South Florida. Flacca Central.
Flaccaville. Yep.
Flaccaville.
Yep. I know Adam's going to have some kind of graphic made, I'm sure, and some kind of a jingle.
Well, somebody might come with. He doesn't do the jingles.
Oh, somebody's going to come up with some kind of Flaccaville or Flacca City or.
I don't know. We haven't even talked about it. I don't know if it's really a topic for the show.
Mm, okay. All right, let's take a look at the stocks. This is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security, not a recommendation either. You can find all this on dhunplug.com. Click on the right side. It says weekly stock picks. There you go. And you'll find all the information about that. This is information that we glean from various places, come up with ideas to share with you, our loving and devoted audience. How's that?
Sounds good.
We're going to change out, we mentioned, we're going to change out in about 2 weeks. We're going to change out the stocks, take out a lot of these names.
We have some good greenies going on, except for that one interruption by IBM, which is not dead. It's still dead money as far as I'm concerned.
I found another
stock. And then we have some mixed ever since, let's see, the Apple of 3-4, January, March 4th, from March 4th to the present, we're mixed with a couple that should be bounced. Including ProShares, Ultra Short, NASDAQ Biotech.
I just changed that on my side right now, and that's going to be updated to a stop out. The biotechs are still on a tear. It's unbelievable that the risk on. You know, what happened was for last year, we saw that biotechs and healthcare and all that was really doing well. Utilities were doing horrible. Crude oil was doing terrible. Technology was doing well. Industrials and all that, materials right in the middle there. And then all of a sudden this year, things started changing when the dollar and euro and yen and all the currency issues happened. Bonds started going crazy. As you notice from your bond holding, where you're short the 20-year bonds, you're up 11% on that. Things started changing and all of a sudden coming back into kind of a reversionary trade. And now the last week or so, when the dollar started turning around again, boom, there you go. Trying to turn everything back on its side. So that's what happened with the ultra-short NASDAQ, which is being pulled. But Netflix now is supposedly going to be getting into China. One of the things that I heard, a news item, was that in Netflix, that they are on to the fact that a lot of people are sharing accounts with friends. So if you start thinking about that.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're just on to that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow, yep. They're on the ball.
Now, I know that I have a Netflix account, and I log in, and I have a separate, I guess I could share it with my family, I guess, because it lets you do that. So it says, mine says, like, kids, and Erica's name.
We have a family account.
Yeah, so you can just log on yours. No difference in the fee. I don't know how that works, if they know somebody's a family member or not. But I guess what they're going to try to do is, obviously, scoop up more payments, you know, subscriptions, which can't deny that from them.
They're going to do it by IP addresses. That's the way I would do it. This IP address doesn't look like anywhere near. It's not even in the same neighborhood. But, you know, again, you're right. What if your son or somebody lives in a dorm at college? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how they're going to police that. They'll find a way. They're smart guys, smart people, smart ladies, smart men. The Apple short is flat.
Yep.
Mondelez up 9%. Mondelez, Oreo. Sick. They own Oreo. Are you aware of that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yep. And the new flavor, the newest flavor. Do you know what the newest flavor is?
Cherry.
S'mores.
Oh.
I mean, it makes sense. You got two crackers on the outside and something on the inside. I mean, listen, let's be fair. An Oreo is kind of a s'more, but it's chocolate.
Right.
I mean, just put two graham crackers on the outside of it and a little bit of burnt flavoring on
it. Yeah, yeah. Let's steal whatever few bucks that the poor Girl Scouts get.
Yeah, exactly.
From their cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I have one for this week. I just can't resist. I have to do it. Shake Shack, after diving.
Oh, your favorite Shake Shack.
After diving and then coming back and
all that. Short.
I got to short it. I got to do it.
Okay.
I got to do it.
Well, I know this is a spur of the moment pick, and this shows you the way the show operates. I'm shorting Etsy.
You're shorting Etsy?
Yeah.
It's It's going to zero.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got this in here. I'll put this over here.
I'm looking at the chart that you showed me a minute ago, just when we started the show, and I'm saying, this isn't right. Then I'm reading the press clippings. It doesn't sound good.
Ooh, I have another one.
They're after him.
They are after him, right?
They're after him. Yeah, they're after him. It's not like that McGraw-Hill pick we did a couple years ago where they were after him, but it wasn't serious. This looks serious.
Well, I mean, they did get it from $1 billion, but $1 billion is no big deal.
Yeah, but McGraw-Hill, $1 billion means nothing.
I got to add one more. Tomorrow's okay. I got to add a short. I got to do it. A short of Yelp. Now, Yelp came out with their earnings. And it was awful. And the stock dropped, I don't know, 50% or something.
Let me look at that.
And then, you know what? We didn't talk about this. This is very interesting, actually, from an insider standpoint. I don't think we talked about this.
No.
So Yelp comes out with their earnings. It was terrible. About a week later or so, there's all of a sudden this magical, absolutely out of nowhere. Oh, somebody's going to buy. We're putting ourselves up for sale, maybe.
Right. Actually, we talked about this last show a little bit.
Did I talk about the insider buying?
No.
The CEO, CFO, and COO are in a massive sell program. They have been selling 8,000. The CEO is selling.
Oh, no, you did talk
yeah,
about
I
that.
I did talk about it, right? I don't know why I didn't short it last week. Anyway, I got to put this on the list to short this. And then there was something else that happened today where the stock like jammed up like 5 or 6% and then came right back down. Management is clearly playing a game right now, and I think it's very dangerous. While the company could be in play, something is not right underneath. There's really something wrong. I think we're going to call it shenanigans. How do you spell that? Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Yeah, put that in there. Let me take a look at this thing.
And what do you think?
I'm looking at the 2-year. Let's see. Okay, so the thing, this really hasn't much of a range. 2 years ago, $30, and then it went up to, it went up to 100. And that was in November, December, January, around January, maybe, I can't tell, of 2014. So it was way up there. Now it's down to 46 after that little valley that took place, mm-hmm. which is not a good-looking valley. And so that valley is probably where it's headed. It just recovered to slowly go down there.
Right.
I think it's going to, definitely go to 40, at least the way I'm reading this thing. And, I think that's a winner.
Yeah, I like Yelp as a short. So, I'm going to put this in here, click this. All right, we're going to update the spreadsheet as we talk on the fly here. All right, well, that's all we have here, and we are right on time with the ending of the show. Thank you for joining us. You can follow John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak on Twitter. Myself, Andrew Horowitz, and we run the Periscope show through this. We may continue the Periscope experiment. We may not. We have people popping in and out. You know, not everybody
probably
has
to watching the Warriors game.
Oh, that could be. Why aren't we watching it?
Well, we will be shortly, or at least I will.
All right, I'll see you next week.
You've been listening on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.